Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Hey folks, welcome into Beyond the Blockchain here with you on a Tuesday night live on FM Talk 106.5. Johnny, we really need to change the introduction.
You've been saying that for 2 years.
Yeah, maybe we just stick with it now.
At this point, does it matter?
It's just kind of nostalgia at this point. The world is moving so fast that 3 years ago was nostalgia.
Look, my hubris has been chiseled down so much where it doesn't bother me. My name is not on the title credit, so... I'm okay with that. I'm just grateful to be here.
You know what?
I'm thankful to be here.
You know what? I'm going to admit, I was talking about the fact that it still says blockchain and cryptocurrency. That matters to you.
I jumped right to my name. Oh, damn. Oh, well.
I'm just kidding. That's actually, that is what I was thinking. I just wanted to give you a hard time.
We do talk about it.
Because we always kid about you being an only child narcissist that doesn't have time.
Scorpio.
Yeah, Scorpio. Yeah.
To think that I care about your life is such a fallacy on your part.
Oh, man, I love it. Yeah, so it's another week, another crazy week of a lot of interesting stuff going on. I know we've got Thanksgiving coming up, which is, it's restoring for some people.
It is.
It's draining for others.
Nobody works this week, I can tell you that right now.
Well, they may be showing up, but I don't know how much is getting done.
No, I'm able to catch up on things this week because nobody's getting to any new business I've put out there.
Well, we were kidding around the other day, but I'm really only half kidding. When you hit Thanksgiving in Mobile, you go straight into the holidays, come out of January, you've got New Year's, you got about 2 weeks to get something done in January before Mardi Gras starts.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Then you got Mardi Gras straight into Easter. Then spring break. Everything here, spring break side around that. Then you've got about a month to get something done.
And then summer. Well,
then it's summer and we're back on, literally like 15, 16 weeks a month you can get something done in this town.
And this city has a serious social drinking problem. Serious.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I didn't realize it until I started traveling. And I was like, you don't know what a roadie is?
Or... what do you mean you don't bring a cooler to your child's whatever event in the parking lot? Right, I'm talking about a ballerina stuff, not even baseball.
Oh, I've seen all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
I go to a Jesuit retreat every year, and it's the same group every year that goes to the same week, okay? And there's a group that meets and tailgates before the silent retreat.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I'm going to be a part of that group.
Yeah. Just letting you know. So I'm like, and then we have a cocktail party before we have dinner, and then after dinner you have your first class for the weekend, and that's when the silent retreat starts.
Well, I just tell you this: don't go around smelling in all these Mom Stanleys at these ballparks for the kids.
Oh no, you'll get a lot of vodka though, because I think I can hide the smell of booze with vodka
or gin.
Well, this town, boy.
No, I don't know how you smell it. The smell of gin smells like rubbing alcohol. If I drink gin.
Turpentine. That's what it smells
like. It does. That juniper berry is dangerous, man. I will literally try to pick a fight with that wall after about the fourth drink of gin. I don't know what chemical, whatever goes on in my synapses, it is not
good. All right,
good.
Well. We're gonna take note of that. Remove that from your Christmas list.
Yes, juniper berries are bad. Did you know in the 18th century the British Navy used to give a ration of gin every day, but they outlawed it. You couldn't even drink it in the ports anymore because they had so much violence from it. That's when they went to rum.
Really?
A drunken sailor.
Correct.
I was gonna ask if there was some form of citrus in a juniper berry that kept them from getting scurvy.
Dude, it's the chemical. It's whatever the chemical of it is has a certain reaction to certain people's enzymes that makes them really aggressive. Not AI related at all. No, just letting you know.
Now I know.
AI, historian. You look it up.
That's right. Look it up.
Well, that's interesting. I learned something new today. I was today years old when I learned that.
So they went to a ration of rum.
A ration of rum.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, sailing across an ocean 500 years ago was,
dude.
Do we even have the equivalent of that now? Like, what would be the equivalent of that?
Going to space?
Yeah, going to Mars.
Space.
Yeah. Or even to the moon.
Because the idea was there was a large portion of them that thought that the world just fell off the end.
Yeah.
Like it was the end of the world.
What do you mean?
There'd be monsters. Yeah, this area.
Sailed to the moon.
What do you mean they thought that?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah. You're a flat earther.
Yeah, in my other life, I was a flat earther.
Yeah, flat earth is... You know, they took those 25 flat earthers up to Antarctica, and 23 of them came back and said we were wrong, and two of them said, I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah, there's a lesson in that.
There is, right? Religion is a weird thing.
There's a lesson in that.
Religion, you're not going to change a zealot's mind.
Unless you argue on Facebook. Then
and then you're, yeah, right.
See you after the break.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain. I'm here with the Johnny Gwynn, Philip on the board. We are talking a lot of things AI today. We were previously talking not AI. We're just kind of, you know, navigating our way around the news and the conversations. Johnny, it is Thanksgiving week.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any special plans?
Well, I mean, Thanksgiving.
Giving thanks. We give thanks every day. It's just an extra special.
This is my favorite holiday.
Is it really?
Because your only real purpose is to gather and consume.
Hmm.
And the idea is you don't really need to bring gifts. There's no added anxiety of gift giving or any of that stuff. It's just being together. And I will be cooking one thing this year,
mm-hmm.
but usually I'm told to get the hell away from the kitchen, and all I got to do is just go and
just go graze,
day drink, and eat. It's wonderful.
Graze around.
Yeah. And so, it's no pressure. To me, there's no pressure in this holiday.
I'm with you, and I would say Thanksgiving's my second favorite holiday. My first is all of those things plus summer. It's 4th of July.
Right.
So, exact same situation that you just described, but just give me summer instead of November. I'm with you. But yeah.
National holidays too.
Man, who doesn't love a 4th of July hot dog or hamburger and just hanging out?
I used to blow up
water,
a lot of stuff.
Any type of water. Blow your fingers off if you feel like it. Get after it, son. That's the American dream.
Yeah.
You can go out there. If you want to blow off your fingers, by God, we'll let you.
I would go to the local fireworks monger, and I would say, what is the biggest thing you can legally sell me?
Mm-hmm. Let me get three.
And they would come back with this box.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm a huge, well, not so much. I used to be a really ridiculous over-the-top Alabama fan.
Mm-hmm.
And one year, this guy said, hey, man, I got these boxes that this LSU fan ordered, and he paid for them and never picked them up. But it's the exact same fireworks they fire off when LSU gets a touchdown, because that's what he wanted for his whatever. He says, I will sell you those boxes for $10 a piece. And it was like 10 of them or 12 of them.
You're like, yeah, buddy.
I bought every one. I didn't care. It was blue and garnet and gold. Whatever. I didn't care.
Doesn't matter.
Them suckers, when they went off, the pier shook. It was so powerful. Boom, boom, bam, bam, bam.
I've been in Tiger Stadium when those things go off.
How'd that happen again? How was that again?
Bam, bam. Bam.
Yeah. I think that's what I heard the first time I heard the story.
It was huge. I couldn't believe it. When that thing went off first time, I was like, whoa.
Interesting.
500 milligrams of gunpowder, baby.
Ooh. That's
a lot. That was legally as much as he could sell me.
All right. Well, do you think AI is going to impact Thanksgiving for some people?
Funny you say. I saw some reports today about how AI is ruining Thanksgiving.
Ruining it.
Yep. And I was like, come on, man, media do better. So I put
so
together how AI is ruined and how AI has improved. And I sent my transmission to Zena, and she sent – oh, it's Aaron. Sorry. Allie Lively.
Allie Lively.
I sent my transmission to Allie Lively, and Allie sent back her report on AI Thanksgiving ruins and improvements.
Let's do it.
Hey, y'all, this is Agent Allie Lively, your favorite half-hacker, half-debutante, coming to you live from the intersection of Bitcoin Boulevard and Butter Roll Lane. Thanksgiving 2025 feels a little like the Hindenburg decided to land right in the middle of your grandmother's dining room, only instead of, oh, the humanity, everybody's whispering, oh, the portfolio, let's start with the crypto crash. Picture the California gold rush in reverse. Last Christmas, your cousin Travis was literally wearing a gold-plated Lambo key around his neck like a Flintstones vitamin. This year, he's hiding his phone under a napkin because Bitcoin just took the same elevator ride as Icarus, down 40 grand in 6 weeks. The same family that once asked him for wallet seed phrases now wants to know if he'd like his humble pie with Cool Whip or without. That sugar is what historians will call the great awkwardening. Meanwhile, artificial intelligence is doing to holiday cooking what the cotton gin did to pre-industrial agriculture, except nobody's sure if we've been freed or just put out of a job. Google's AI overviews are now serving up recipes the way a drunk toddler mixes Lego sets. Bake your 6-inch fruitcake for 3.5 hours at 450 degrees. Ma'am, that's not a cake. That's a federal crime against fruit. Real food bloggers, the ones who actually tasted the green bean casserole before posting it, have watched their traffic fall faster than Atlanta house prices in 2008. And yet, here's where it gets deliciously contradictory. The same AI that's torching Nana's handwritten index cards is quietly making sure 46 million turkeys arrive unspoiled, optimizing truck routes like Bobby Fischer playing chess with refrigerated semis. My Gen Z sister-in-law asked ChatGPT to convert a recipe for 8 into dinner for 20, remove the onions, stay under $60, and still taste like church lady approved. It did, and she had money left for a decent bottle of bourbon. The gravy was perfect. The conversation was not about seed phrases, and for one shining moment, the algorithm was the best sous chef since Aunt Pity Pat. So here's the twist. Every major cultural shift looks like apocalypse until it looks like infrastructure. The printing press put scribes out of work and gave us the Reformation. The automobile killed the horsewhip industry and gave us the suburbs. Right now, AI and crypto are the twin drunks fighting in the front yard of tradition, loud, embarrassing, and impossible to ignore. But give it 5 years, and the same tech that ruined Coca-Cola's Christmas ad will be the reason your diabetic uncle gets a perfectly portioned pecan pie, and your broke nephew still gets a turkey that didn't cost a car payment. The table is still set, darlings. The china hasn't cracked yet. We just have some new, slightly sociopathic butchers and bakers helping in the kitchen. So pass the dressing, hide Travis's phone, and raise a glass to the future, because this year, like every year, the holidays are going to be messy, imperfect, and somehow, against all odds, absolutely perfect. This is Agent Allie Lively reminding you, the robots are coming for the fruitcake, but they're also bringing the groceries. Happy Thanksgiving, y'all. Try the AI gravy. It's to die for.
Oh, the robots are coming. Johnny, if we want to dovetail.
But they're bringing the groceries.
But if we,
again.
If we want to dovetail back to last week. Soon you can have Thanksgiving with all your dead relatives.
Oh yeah, you can have Aunt Pity Patty or whatever name it is.
All I could think throughout that entire thing was, who wrote that? Who wrote that joke? Who wrote that line? Where did it grab it from? Where did it fish that from? You know,
that's Allie Lively. It's her transmission.
I don't know.
Where did it get its information? You know,
Allie,
it's unsourced.
Oh, it's sourced because I gave her. The three articles where it came from. CNET was one of them. One was the Signs of India or something. I don't know.
That's source material. I'm talking about like jokes and metaphors and the linking together
God, Philip,
the ideas.
God.
and well, originally.
Or as I like to call him, Gus. That stands for God, Universe, Spirit and Source, and that covers
all. Oh, you got two S's.
Yeah,
you got two S's.
Yeah, Gus.
What about the floating spaghetti monster?
I don't.
Where does that fit in with Gus?
I don't talk to him.
How about Gump?
I know. I don't. You call God whatever you want to call God. I don't care. I just call him Gus. Like, when you. People say you should have a personal relationship,
yeah.
Like, if you're going to have a personal relationship with somebody, don't you call them by their name? Yeah, so I just call them Gus. God, universe, source, and spirit.
Yeah, I got you. Sounds a little secular to me. I don't know, man. A little secular.
I'm Methodist. We are kind of secular.
A little secular, buddy.
I'm Methodist. We're about as secular as you can
Baptist.
Get.
The Baptists
no,
are,
we are
yes. A lot. Y'all have church on Wednesday night, just like the Baptists.
Yeah, but you know
generic
what?
Generic sources.
You know what else we do? Yeah. Drink in public and have sex standing up.
Hey, do you know why the Baptists don't like? I shouldn't say this joke. It's not that bad, though. Do you know how the Baptists don't like dancing?
Why?
Because it looks like you're making love.
Yeah, that's where I was going. We have sex standing up.
I'm gonna get the station in trouble by telling that joke.
Do you remember TOH? They used to have a
WTOH.
They got a preacher from somewhere, whatever they clipped it and put Over the Hills and Far Away Beneath It. And he was saying something like, they're Christian rock. What about Christian rock? He said, Christian rock? There's no such thing as Christian rock. Rock and roll is having intercourse in the back of a car while it's rolling. You can't do that in the name of Jesus. And then the music rises up. That was like
WTOH.
I do not.
It was the radio station at Spring Hill College, a true college radio station.
Oh.
They would actually have subversive, you know, like they had a punk rock hour on right. Friday and Saturday nights.
Right.
And the way it used to be.
The way Gus intended it.
The way Gus intended.
The way Gump intended it.
Okay, wait a minute.
Generic source. The way generic source intended it.
You need
GS. GS, generic source. Just guess.
You need to get an LLM. Mm-hmm. You need to train it with whatever your philosophy, whatever heavy text you want to put in and have it to be the Gus chatbot.
The theory of Gus?
The guess.
It could be the Gus chatbot.
Right.
Generic guess.
But again, it could be anything. You could take any, because it's biblical.
Right.
It's not like a
That's
new
right.
God. It's the God that you know. You just gave
it's
a name
just,
to it.
It's just this interpretation. It's
the non-generic source.
It's the same. Everybody's got a name. This is a way for me to think about it in a way, name it and claim it. What I mean by that is no. Here's my point. When I read something, and it talks about metaphysical things, quantum theory, quantum mechanics, interdimensional, whatever, all the science that I believe, science.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The science all says, and the source, right?
I got you.
Well, I'm saying the same thing. I'm saying that when they say source or the beginning, I'm saying God.
Yes.
And when they say the universe, I'm saying God. It's all the same thing.
It's what the Masons call the great architect.
Yes, may exactly God right. and science be with you.
Is that right? Is it the great architect or the great engineer?
I think it's
the
great
It's a great architect. It's a great architect.
I'm reading a crazy book about Freemasons right now.
You know, I'm really fascinated by all
the
Freemasons.
The Europe one is so much older and different than the American
one. The Trivium. You know the band Trivium? They got that from the Masons. Trivium. That's like the three branches of education and knowledge. The Trivium. Yeah, they got that from Freemasonry.
I'm interested in Freemasonry's role in the founding fathers' philosophies.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Supposedly Washington is set out to.
The Washington footprint is crazy with symbolic iconography of Freemasonry and how the whole city's laid out.
Nicolas Cage taught me about that.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes, a National Treasure 1 and 2.
That was it. Or National 2.
So you probably saw that Trump demanded that Rush Hour 4 be made.
Yes,
I now want him to make National Treasure whatever the next number is. I don't even know what number we're on, but
terrible.
I want Trump
three.
To demand
It'd be
it.
3.
All right, folks, when we come back from the break, we'll talk more about AI.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain. Johnny, we were talking about Thanksgiving dinner. What's your favorite side dish? Fixin', as we like to call them around here. You got a favorite fixin'?
Yeah, oyster dressing.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
It's my grandfather wasn't, he would do like fish and stuff to cook, but uh-huh. he only made certain things during the year, I would say. But
sure.
My grandfather made this oyster dressing, our family still does, and it is in a crock pot, and boy, it is good stuff.
That sounds good. I would also go with dressing, preferably with as much gravy as I can.
Yeah. Can't get go wrong
to
gravy.
Sop up.
Yeah.
I want a really good, like, I just want this dressing falling apart.
You know what else is my other favorite side dish?
Tell me.
Booze.
Oh, I thought that was the main course.
I drank lots of red wine that day, and my teeth will be stained, and I will make a jackass of myself by 6 o'clock.
Over under on time of day once your teeth have already become stained.
Oh, 1:30.
All right.
Yeah.
That's respectable. That's respectful.
I'll be a ball and a half in by 1:30.
You know, everybody's got their own timelines.
Yeah. But I'm off on Friday. I'm responsible. I'm not going anywhere.
I wasn't judging you a bit.
I'm not going nowhere, Jack. I will stay in that house, and I probably won't leave for another 36 hours.
No judgment zone.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
My type of language.
Because then you got turkey leftover sandwiches.
Mm.
Where you're putting all the other stuff in the sandwich with it, with the stuffing,
with the cranberry
ham,
sauce.
With the turkey, with the cranberry, and then just, oh, yeah.
And if your cranberry doesn't have the ridges from the can, I don't want to talk to you.
If it's not in Jell-O form.
Yeah, if you did not plop it out of the can.
Jelly mold.
I don't want to know where this came from.
I wouldn't know what it tastes like if I didn't have those chemicals involved.
I wouldn't trust it.
That's right. That organic, natural cranberry.
Get out of here.
That's hoity-toity.
No, thanks. Uh-uh. Nope. Next thing you're going to do give me a low-fat turkey leg. Nope.
Oh,
I want the full-fat turkey leg.
A tofurkey.
A tofurkey.
You know what I've always wanted to make, just because I like cooking, but boy, it seems like a lot of work. It's a turducken.
Now, first of all, I cannot stand turducken. Duck.
Okay. Really?
Oh, man.
Too rich?
Greasy.
Yeah.
It's oily. It has a gamey taste to it.
It depends on where you have it, but...
That gaminess of
I'm not very bougie, but I do like bougie things. The duck at Noja,
just how bougie,
real
are you?
Good.
Yeah,
good.
Why would I? I know I don't like duck. The aftertaste is horrible.
Well, then you don't have to eat it.
Exactly. That's the beauty of having a menu there.
Did you ever have the duck nachos at the bike shop back in the day?
No, because if it had duck, I was not going to eat it.
So good.
That same thing with goat cheese.
I'll just keep asking you about more duck
items. What about this?
Have you
had
that
duck
item? Duck?
What about this? Did you get me? I don't eat duck. Like, I'm not even going to try it.
Did you see the video? I don't know if I sent it to you or not, of the girl teeing off, and she smokes she just skulls it.
Now you're talking golf now?
Golf, yeah.
Okay.
And she drills a duck right in the head. Oh, and the duck is like,
it
looks like
it?
It's wobbling like a boxer about to go down, and then it falls off into the creek.
Oh, crap.
Well, the sad part, that's sad enough. But then, 30 ducks just get in a line, forming a funeral line, and they all just follow it into the creek and start swimming with it as it floats away.
It's like a funeral procession.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd never play golf again if that happened.
It was, this girl seemed like she was a little traumatized. You know?
You would have to have some therapy after that.
So the duck slowly died.
It probably died as soon as it hit the water and drowned. I don't think that thing was going anywhere.
Man.
I mean, boy.
It felt no pain.
I don't believe that's true at all.
Oh. Well, I mean, they say, you're overwhelmed.
Hey,
you're overwhelmed.
This is a holiday week. We're going to say they took that thing to duck urgent care, and it got its bearings, and it's fine. It's fine now. He or she now knows not to get close to the tee box.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Let's just go ahead and say that's what happened.
Yes.
Yeah. I hope you didn't misgender the he, she. Could have been a they, them duck.
Look, correct.
But luckily, on this station, you're probably not going to get
correct.
Fired
I,
for
I
that.
I don't think we'll have a problem on this station. I've heard this station during the day.
No. Johnny, think I told
you
this
story. Are we going to get to the segment?
Yeah, let's do the segment. Okay. I'll tell the story later.
All right.
McKinsey report on what AI is like. In the workplace now, right?
Right.
That's what we're going to hear about?
Yeah. AI in the work, and it's positive. So we're going to have this holiday week where we feel a little more positive about the messages we're hearing from AI.
Yeah, we are. Let's do it.
Hello, AI explorers and technocrats. This is Agent Xena, your rogue economist with the red pill energy, broadcasting straight from the bleeding edge on Beyond the Blockchain. McKinsey just detonated an AI jobs truth bomb so big it should come with its own warning label. And I'm here to hand you the shrapnel before the mainstream media turns it into confetti. Buckle up. 57% of everything you do at work right now could be done by AI before your next coffee break. That's not a layoff notice. That's the biggest promotion in human history disguised as a crisis. McKinsey says, if we play this right, America unlocks $2.9 trillion by 2030. If we play it scared and stupid, we leave that money on the table and pretend Blockbuster had a chance against Netflix. Here's the plot twist nobody's ready for. The companies that win aren't the ones who replace humans fastest. They're the ones who turn every employee into a cyborg orchestra conductor, while AI plays the entire string section perfectly, every single time. You're not getting fired. You're getting upgraded to the person who tells the super genius robot what symphony matters today. One skill just exploded sevenfold in job postings. AI fluency. Translation, learn to speak robot without sounding like one. Because the stuff machines will never have. Gut feel, empathy, the ability to smell when the spreadsheet is lying. Those are about to become the most expensive skills on Earth. Bottom line for every crypto maxi, every line worker, every side hustle warrior listening right now, AI isn't coming to take your job. It's coming to hand you superpowers, if you're brave enough to grab them. The future doesn't belong to the robots, it belongs to the humans smart enough to ride them. This is Agent Xena signing off. Stay fluent, stay human, stay dangerous, and have a sublime Thanksgiving.
Ah, sublime Thanksgiving. Thanks, Xena.
Can I have Xena's phone number?
No.
She is in a secret lair.
Well, we have a strict no policy on no fraternization on this show.
She does have a very alluring voice, though.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Robots are not going to take your job, but you better learn how to ride them.
Yep.
It's pretty good.
Useful tools. Yeah. Editors and whatnot.
I don't think we should tell people robots are not going to take their jobs. I think we need to prepare everyone that robots will be able to take your job. How do you become the human that's irreplaceable?
Right. That
when everybody else falls apart.
She's saying you become the conductor.
That's right.
To do the orchestra of the robots. But think about this. Think about if you kept your five employees you had, and they all became open-minded about being an AI fluent person, right? And all of a sudden, those five people are doing the work of 100 people. What your company could do with such less resource and so much more revenue.
So what's going?
That's what I'm hearing.
But yes, and yes, and so everything is going to become like the Avengers. All right. So I love using pop culture references. Y'all know that. But here's my point: there probably are not in a small business. There are probably not five people who all five are going to be AI curious. What's going to happen is, that small business is going to go find five AI curious people, and they're going to suck them together, right? And those five AI curious people are going to be able to do the work of 100, and they're going to put out of business the people that have 20 employees doing it the way they've always done it. That group of does that make sense?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
So I think that's where, and so what our listeners need to think about for themselves is or their kids, be that one.
AI fluent, you be curious.
Be the all-star. When they make the all-star team, they're picking you.
Yeah.
Because if we know that.
But it's not natural talent. You have to do the work.
Oh, it's not natural. No, there's nothing natural about this.
To talk this language and understand this infrastructure.
The most important thing is you got to be curious. If you're not curious and trying to figure it out, and constantly trying to figure it out, because as we talk about, look, Google just went from last in the AI race to first in one release.
Yeah.
That's how fast this has changed.
I heard one guy actually give an interesting theory about how to program sentience and consciousness into an AI. It has to do with not prompting it, but giving it an irritant. You put in something that irritates it, and it tries to compensate for the irritation. Anyway, it's a lot more complex than that. But
I would argue really that the only thing that can provide consciousness is Gus.
Oh, here we go. Right, back to Gus.
But what's the irritant? See, Gus is the irritant.
Yeah, whatever. Gus is the only one that can provide.
Guess what the irritant is.
The whole theme of Battlestar Galactica, the new Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah,
the
one
the
God.
Whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they believed in the one God and turned against the humans who had the many gods because they were pagans. They
you gotta
declared
watch
a holy
you
war.
Start watching.
A holy war on the humans with their pagan multiple gods and wipe them out.
Maybe I am a descendant of that.
A Cylon?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
The Cylon was.
Is that good or bad?
Again, that's the robot folks.
Maybe.
The robot folks.
Yeah, but they could pass for human, though. They could.
I do. Mm-hmm. I can't believe it. You never watched Battlestar Galactica?
No, but it sounds like I'd like it.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah. It's great. Four seasons, actually.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm familiar with, like, Stargate.
Also watch...
Isn't that a Battlestar show?
No.
Also watch Stargate, Caprica. Caprica actually has two seasons. Watch Caprica, too, also.
So...
Because that explains exactly how the silent.
There's two Battlestar Galacticas. The one 70s. In the 80s.
What a nerdy show this
really
What a
cheesy.
Nerdy radio show
like,
this
it
is.
It is a bad. Network.
That's the one I was thinking. Okay. Like, it came on TNT.
Had a lot of good ideas. Had a lot of good ideas.
But
badly executed.
The remake on Sci-Fi, it was like 2004, 2005. And
2002.
Whatever it was, that is the one I'm saying to watch.
All right.
The 80s ones is not some great TV.
Okay. Well, now that I know.
It's not.
All right, when we come back on Beyond the Blockchain, we'll see if we can get even nerdier than we have so far.
Woohoo!
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain. It's our favorite segment where we go beyond the blockchain into some interesting territory. A lot of times we talk about aliens, Johnny. Today, I want to talk about aliens again.
Yes.
So there's this documentary that came out called Age of Disclosure. And it's on Amazon Prime. And the guy was on Joe Rogan. I'm going to give you the really high level overview. And then I want us to talk about
it. Okey-doke.
Here's short version. Over 30 high-ranking government officials appeared on camera and spoke about what they were able to speak about. Mm. What they confirmed was that over the past 80 years, we have recovered dozens of UFOs, and we have recovered dozens of alien bodies, including four different species of aliens, the grays, like Close Encounters.
The reptilian.
The tall whites. No reptilians. The tall whites.
They call them Nordics,
the
right?
The mantis. Yeah, the Nordics. The mantis. And one that they said was that they don't believe was conscious, but was like a droid, like a synthetic droid.
Oh, like a surrogate.
Yeah, like a surrogate. So those are the four that they've admitted.
An avatar, excuse me.
Those are the four they've admitted that they have. They also confirmed that we have reversed engineered most of this technology, including interstellar travel. These things are creating a time warp around them to create a bubble, and that's how they're able to travel from
that's
air
the orbs.
To
that's what they say the orbs
from
are right?
air to water without creating ripple. It's how they're bending space time as
electromagnetism. I mean, it's
creating
simultaneously.
As I understand, it's creating its own universe around it.
Exactly,
a pocket universe.
And there are a number of people who have had contact with these crafts, and typically they die of radiation poisoning or cancer within weeks after being in contact with them. And that there's a lot of service members who have died from these cancers. That the government has just been like, oh, we don't know what happened to them. Anyway, so I'd love to get your feedback on the fact that it dovetails into what we talked about 2 weeks ago when I told you, well, you know, Charlie that's in our cohort was like, yeah, man, I've been reverse engineering these things for 25 years.
Yeah.
What you think I've been doing?
He admitted when he was 19, he saw the first sign of alien technology.
Yeah.
At 19.
Yeah.
And where was this?
He was a contractor for the government. He was in a VC cohort we just finished. But yeah, he makes robots now. But
So anyway, you're not going to get better disclosure than all that. And so now what's crazy is everybody's like, yeah, all right, whatever.
Well, I think the thing is that for 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, we've been given a food of pop culture that aliens exist, and we're all going to go, duh. Well, of course aliens exist. It's not going to be shocking anymore.
Oh, this was also interesting.
When they officially tell us.
The question was, why would these craft crash, like if they're this sophisticated? And the answer is, we believe that just like you throw a stick of dynamite into a lake and you can kill a bunch of fish.
Yeah.
When we do nuclear testing at high altitudes.
But when have we done that?
Well, we stopped in the 80s, Hawaii. But we did it from the 40s to the 80s, nonstop.
So you're saying we created something that causes...
The nuclear weapons get their attention. And they go, we better pay attention to these people. Well, then also, we were able to... They targeted one and blew up a nuclear weapon above it in its vicinity, and that's how they burned it down.
Yeah. Wow,
and so the question was... Why in the world would you want to pick a fight with these people?
Are we picking a fight?
Well, you would think if you're intentionally downing their aircraft, that'd be picking a fight. But anyway, I guess they're so sophisticated that if I step in an ant bed and an ant bites me, I don't like burn the ant bed to the ground. I go, oh, that ant. That's an ant being an ant.
It could have been an accident. They set off a large enough in this story.
It was intentional. That's the story they tell.
I have brought this book up before, and it came out in 1996. It's called The Day After Roswell, and it is either the most telltale book of all times about government secrets, especially with aliens, government secrets, or it's the best bit of fiction I have ever read.
Well, I would guess that it's true.
A little bit of both.
No, probably a lot of true because part of this is back to the government and film is there's a lot of speculation that like Spielberg and James Cameron are fed information from the government about technology.
Oh, yeah. That's part of the thing they want you to see this. But real quick, so this Day After Roswell thing is it's the book of this guy named Colonel Philip J. Corso who was in charge of. What he's showing is when someone says there's no way they could do it, too many people would know you're building this secret thing, right? Mm-hmm. But the way he explains it, they break it off in compartmentalization where no one knows exactly what they're working on and the whole.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But he explains the whole, like how he procures equipment, how he procures talent. It's amazing. So what I'm saying is it's either – holy crap, that details are amazing, and that's got to be true, or someone has the world's best imagination that made it plausible fiction.
Well, I think it's safe now to default to it's true, and they just somehow he was able to get the Pentagon to allow him to release that information.
Well, speaking of religion,
because you still like you think that you have freedom of press, you do not, my friend. If the Pentagon doesn't want something published, it does not get published.
Sure. You know, actually, Billy Graham was really open-minded. He was told when they were talking about if there's life on Mars, he said, if the aliens come, I'll just ask them about, you know, what they think of our Jesus and our Bible. And he would start talking about God and
He would immediately start trying to save them.
Exactly.
No, not Billy Graham.
But that was his
Billy
idea.
Graham said, it's not my job. It's God's job to convict. It's my job to tell him the story, but it's God's job to convict. All I can do is tell him the story.
Right, but he wanted to talk to the aliens.
But he was an evangelist.
But yeah, of course he did. Wanted to.
I think any reasonable spiritual person who believes in the afterlife or angels and demons or any other kind of spirituality would go like, yeah, I'd be a fool not to also believe in aliens because I believe in this giant cosmos.
Okay.
Well, that's what I was saying about that the aliens come in here and one of them is possessed by a demon and the other ones are like uncertain about what to make of this guy.
This is probably where they just send their crazy people.
Hey.
They're just like, send them to Earth.
I want you to go to one of the AI script writers
commander.
And these AI video makers, and I want you to do the fictional thing of if an alien and Trump had to meet.
Oh, my God.
In the woods, secret.
Okay.
Because that, can you imagine?
Oh, man. He's reaching out.
I'll report back next Tuesday.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be great.
And you can pick either one of the categories of aliens.
Uh-huh.
You can take the Nordic, the whatever, or the gray, or whatever.
Oh, I just what visuals. A field day he would have with the Manus. I look at the Manus.
antennas don't even wear.
He already has.
Look at the guy. Is it a guy?
Some say he's the best man.
It's the best landing. It's the best ship.
Here we go.
See you next week, folks.